Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering The Crown Season 6, Episode 9, Hope Street, and Season 6, Episode 10, the series finale.
Yes.
Sleep, dearie, sleep. Sorry, I had a
little... We will not be playing bagpipes. I'm sure you're all disappointed.
I cannot play bagpipes.
I can't
so I'm
either.
Sure you're all very confused.
I've tried once.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because I played flute back in the day.
And well, I suppose it's also...
And we were in Ireland. We were in Ireland.
I guess that
the folk choir was in.
A little bit more sense.
Yeah. So we have usual disclaimers, which would include that there will be cursing. There can't be spoilers at this point. You should be watching the show by the time you get to this episode. And we are having things to drink, and we're having the same thing to drink.
Yeah, because I'm home.
Please,
we did not mention this in the last episode.
We
but
didn't.
I'm home,
but that's the reason we were having the same drink. So the reason that we're having the same drink with this episode as well is because Natalie is home, and we are having a kamikaze because when I googled it, Prince William's favorite drink is a kamikaze. We're
oh,
having.
That's
it.
So funny. I don't think I realized it was Prince.
Yeah,
William's
no, it's Prince William's favorite. Normally,
I was
of course,
making the joke that Harry was kamikazing his own reputation. Go ahead.
Yeah, but normally, the kamikaze is done as a shot. We have done it as a beverage in a regular beverage glass. If you've ever had a kamikaze, the recipe I am using is one shot of vodka, one shot of triple sec, and one shot of lime juice. It is tasty. It might kill you if you're not careful. So keep that in mind.
From witnessing it.
Yeah, well, no, I've had kamikazes before, but
well,
your brother.
Not that. I've also had a kamikaze, but well, I think I have. I don't remember.
I don't remember because
I don't remember. I think I've had a sip of a kamikaze before,
there
not
you
like
go.
A full shot. I don't take shots.
Okay,
I'm a sipper.
It is a thing. So we, like I said, we don't have disclaimer. So let's dive right into season 6, episode 9.
Oh, well,
9.
There will be cursing, though. So
I
let's
said
go.
That.
I know, but you said that we don't have disclaimers. And I was like, that's incorrect. Anyway,
okay,
we're going to get into season 6, episode 9, Hope Street. This is another great one because you know what it's about? Elizabeth and William and Kate.
Yeah.
But mostly William and Kate. Elizabeth's there, too. Mohamed Al-Fayed goes on TV for an interview talking about how he thinks Diana was murdered by the royal family and saying she was pregnant with Dodi's baby.
Which is
where did this come from?
And you talk about extrapolation. This guy's clearly in that.
Like job. There was barely any like evidence that they were even engaged or even like close to being engaged. And I can understand him based off of the events of the show thinking that they were engaged. However, her being pregnant makes absolutely zero sense. Anyway, he says he has new evidence and wants to open up a formal inquiry. And so Elizabeth is informed about this, about how his theories are growing in popularity with other people across the UK. And people are starting to get upset with the royal family but because they think that they had something to do with Diana's death, which is ridiculous.
It is.
William listens to the radio about a new inquiry being opened up while he goes about his day, which they don't have. I understand the police don't really have, they're kind of backed into a corner for this, but Mohamed Al-Fayed reopening this case, he has no regard for how this will affect the people that are more directly affected by Diana's death. And yes, of course, he's directly affected by Dodi's death. But I think it's so ridiculous that he doesn't keep into consideration that the boys will be affected by this.
I want to point out that one of the things we did not discuss with the Dodi Force Ghost is the Dodi Force Ghost told Muhammad that he needs to not kowtow to the white people, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get the sense that somehow he feels like he's honoring the Dodi's Force Ghost that we don't know ever existed. But the bottom line is he has portrayed this as a very racial thing.
Yeah.
That you know, the British royal family didn't are racist and didn't want their child, their grandchild or Diana to give birth to a Muslim child.
Which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And so the whole thing gets reopened, and it's mostly just to keep them quiet, right? And I think some of it is, you know, Tony Blair and like being like, we got to shut this down.
Elizabeth talks to the Queen Mother about her jubilee, her golden jubilee, being bigger than ever, and her not wanting to provoke the public right now because they're already mad at the royal family. She asks, she basically begs her mother not to leave her alone. It's so sad. William's friend then goes to William's room and gives him some great news. Kate is back on the market, and she is also modeling in a risque fashion show, and regardless of security detail, William plans on attending. Kate heard that William is coming and tells her mom because she heard it through the grapevine. Great song. There's a Pride and Prejudice reference to Mrs. Bennet. And because Kate tells her mom, you're worse than Mrs. Bennet. Stop. Not
factual, but still.
Well, exactly. Her mom is like, oh yeah, well, you need to make sure that you show off your legs, make sure you're wearing heels, all this stuff. And she's like, you're worse than Mrs. Bennet. Stop it. Mm-hmm. And then so Kate, when it's the night of the fashion show, she chooses a see-through dress. And she kills it on the runway.
Oh, God. She's gorgeous. She was originally decked out in kind of this off-the-shoulder sweater with a miniskirt that's very covered up.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees that William's there, and she's, because there's this big question whether William can even
is actually going to show up.
Right.
Because there are photographers there.
Right. The photographers are there, and generally speaking, his security guy keeps him away from things where there are photographers. And his response, and he tells his friend, fuck it. That. Yeah, it's like, I'm
going for Kate.
And the friend's like, I love your energy.
I love that. And he's like, no, seriously, fuck that. And like, say it again.
Yeah, keep going. And that is really cool. So he goes, and you know, he's chatting with people and whatever. And the way this is, it's not like...
It's not formal.
It's not formal in any way. People just come out.
I like that they're showing it's not formal.
Right. And you know, like, basically, they're all... Everyone who's showing clothes, they're all like kind of friends, and
they're having fun. They're seeing their friends and being like, hi.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, Kate comes out and she is dominating,
She is gorgeous.
And this dress, like basically what she has
it
on
is mesh.
What she has on under it is basically like a bathing suit.
It's literally a bathing suit.
And she, you can see just everything. About everything, and
leaves little to the imagination.
And William is speechless.
As he should be. He is in awe.
And
I mean, come on, man.
And so they end up in
Elizabeth is with the Queen Mother, and her mother dies. There you go.
It is incredibly sad.
At the after party, William talks to Kate and compliments her on her runway walk and all that stuff, and says that she looked incredible. She is very direct about wanting to know if he's actually interested. She's just like, well, I chose to do that because I wanted to really make sure that, I mean, you were interested. And he's like, interested?
I have been interested this a long time.
Exactly. And she's like, oh, great. I'm interested too.
They start kissing.
And then the bodyguard interrupts and tells him Operation Towbridge or Towbridge or whatever, which means that his great-grandmother has died.
Yes.
And so, of course, that's sad. But he's like, really, dude, you had to interrupt this moment?
Yeah, he's like, come on, can I ever have a private life? Please, and they're like, sorry. God. This is actually important, so sorry.
Yeah, and then they're at the funeral. William and Harry talk about the new inquiry and them wanting to interview William and get his written statement on it because William's just like, well, it's because I was older than you and I was more aware of her mental state at the time. Like, that's the reason why. And then Harry starts comparing his situation to Diana, and William's like, your situation is not like mom's. Don't try to compare that.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. Stop it.
Well, he's right. I mean, honestly, Harry's being a bitch.
He's being a little bitch.
He's being whiny. It's like, oh yeah, it's so hard for me. It's like, okay, you're not even number one, dude. And I'm the one who looks like her. I mean, he has like a laundry list. He doesn't say any of it. What he just says is, don't compare yourself to mom. Neither of us had it as bad as mom.
And you can be the playful rogue or whatever, or the likable rogue, all you want. You can get away with that. I can't. And right. Then Harry's like, well, of course you can. You first have to be likable. And I was like, ooh. And then I think you're likable, William, as far as I know about you.
Yeah, but the way they're... And,
right. The character.
Right. No, I do too. And honestly, in real life, I don't know that much about it.
I really don't know much about him, but the character I like. William tells Harry he's staying at university, and Harry teases him during the funeral.
And he's, yeah, he's like, so why are you staying?
And
he's
why, like, is that? Is it the same reason you were going to go?
And it's kind of like, they don't actually do eyebrows, but, you know, it's kind of close, like, enough.
Yeah. Then Tony Blair has a meeting with Elizabeth about potential for war against Saddam Hussein. Blair suggests putting William in the spotlight because he's likable and young, and Elizabeth is worried about putting him in the spotlight during this investigation. He also doesn't like the press and all that stuff. She doesn't want to put him in that weird situation. Then the police come to Highgrove to take William and Charles's statements. They bring some evidence to Charles's attention about Diana being a bit paranoid about, and not necessarily paranoid, but, like, concerned about her safety because of that one brake failure thing.
Right. So the fact that she had believed that it was, and Charles says that he had no idea that she believed that, which, I, you know, it wasn't
possible.
It's possible.
They clearly didn't have an open line of communication, so.
Right, and he might have ignored whatever
she
said.
And also, why would she go to him for that? Like, if she thinks that it's being put up by the royal family, she probably thinks he's at the helm of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but William overhears that part of the conversation. And Charles is like, that's ridiculous. And he's like, I'm so sorry. Her mental state must have been terrible for her to actually believe.
Yeah, and then he
like
starts
that.
Feeling actually really bad.
Which he should. There we go. And I think, you know, it's interesting for William in that moment, too, because William is realizing maybe Dad's not the dickhead I thought he was. Like,
maybe
he
has a soul.
Yeah,
maybe he has a heart. Maybe he actually did care about Diana enough to care about her well-being like that. Yeah. Then Elizabeth meets with William and they discuss Harry and his struggles at in general.
Yeah.
They discuss being the heir, and she's like, take extra care of him because he does need some attention, because, I mean, Margaret was a similar way.
I have to say this, and this is something that I noted in this sequence. So Elizabeth summons William, and William's driving himself. He doesn't even have security with him. He drives his own car to Buckingham Palace to see
Independence.
Well, and from Highgrove. I mean, he just, you know, she has tea with him, and it's very, you see what a sweet relationship they have.
Yeah, it's cute.
But they have tea, and she says that she's very cross about this inquiry about Diana.
He also discusses the way that it's that inquiry is affecting him. He talks about how people believe the speculation and change the way they act around him accordingly, which is ridiculous.
And that then affects his perception of reality too. Like, even though he knows it's not real, it becomes part of his reality because he has to respond to it all the time, or he's being treated like that's real, you know. So, and she's like, she's kind of like, okay, you need to. I'm worried about your being in front of crowds. I brought you here to like prop me up as one of the more glamorous members of the royal family at this thing, because I'm actually really concerned about like going out there and everyone hates me or has forgotten about me or there are no crowds or whatever. And so I kind of wanted you to be on the balcony with me. But if this is what's going on with you, I want you to stay clear and try to have a normal life.
Yeah, she mentions her time in Malta with Philip when it was early stages of their marriage, and he was in the Navy and doing all that stuff and having fun. She was a normal person going to the grocery store with the other wives and not just being a princess.
Right, going to the hair salon like a normal person.
Yeah, just being normal and having the two kids, and just it was a normal, peaceful time in her life that she does miss, and she wouldn't give up for anything. And she wants William to have that same opportunity before he's put in the spotlight.
Yeah.
And she also mentions her concern for how people will receive her on the balcony section of her jubilee, and she's worried people will boo at her. It's like she's very self-conscious about that, especially with the climate of the nation being the way it is.
Right.
William,
I made this note too. I love this conversation. William brings up his girlfriend. This
yeah,
is actually super sweet.
It's
Keep going.
He starts telling her about Kate being his girlfriend, but being worried that she might not like him as much. And she's just like, oh, well, is she great or whatever? And he's like, oh, she's so good. And
one of the things she says, and this is part of what's great, is she's finding him a little inscrutable, right? Like, she's not able to read immediately how he feels about her. And she says to him, well, don't we have two minds about her? He's like, oh, I'm not, but she might be.
And she's like, well, you're a bit of a catch yourself. So
no, I guess so. But yeah, that insecurity in him is so terribly sweet. I love this conversation. And I love the advice that she gives him. Like, you know, be yourself, but know your value.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love that.
And he mentions Kate wants him to meet her parents, and she's like, oh, so soon. It's cute.
I do love this too. He's like, they eat together in the kitchen, and she's like, why?
He's like, the staff?
Like, staff? Because they would prefer to behave like staff. And he's kind of like, I think they just like each other.
And she's like, okay. Oh. We'll not hold that against them. It's just funny.
Right. There's a very sweet conversation after this between William and Kate on the phone.
About how the queen would like to meet her at some point. Kate invites William to her house to watch the Jubilee, since he's been kind of let off the hook for that.
Yeah.
And
he says, look, I want to wait because that police inquiry thing has come out.
Yeah. And so the police present their findings about Diana's death. They say that Diana wasn't engaged or pregnant, and the driver was drunk. They discredit Mohammed's claims.
Right. And one of the things I like about this and the way the statement, and I'm sure that this is almost probably word for word for how this press conference went.
Most likely. You know,
they interviewed 300 witnesses. They looked at the CCTV. They inspected the actual physical evidence. She wasn't engaged. She wasn't pregnant. They did 3D modeling for how this crash could have happened, because I guess Mohammed put forward something about, like, oh, there was a flash in the tunnel and the guy was blinded and that was caused by the royal family, or some kind of idiotic conspiracy theory.
Yeah, they saw, like, for that specific tunnel too.
Right. And it's like, no. And part of the reason for that is, like, the driver had been drinking. No one had their seatbelts on, and he was going 100 kilometers per hour.
And also, they were all there because of Mohammed Al-Fayed.
Right. They point out, like, everyone involved in this is Mohammed's security, is Mohammed's car, is Mohammed's driver. They were going on a detour that was created by Mohammed. Like, if anybody had control of the situation,
it was him.
And, you know, the royal family wouldn't even have known about any of it.
They didn't.
Right. They don't say that, but it is obvious what is unsaid here. It was like, look, fucker, if anyone fucked this up, it's you. Sit down.
And also, like, there were moments in the aftermath episode where they're like, why was she even in Paris? And that's a good question.
It is a good question.
Because of fucking Mohammed Al-Fayed, according to the show.
Right.
Anyway, so then Mohammed makes a statement to the press about having to leave the UK and how they're racist and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, he uses these phrases, though. They're so inflammatory. Like, the racist royal family and all of your subjects and the Dracula royal family. And then he starts talking about how back when the pyramids were built, the English were wearing animal skins. And I'm thinking to myself, the Egyptians didn't actually build the pyramids. They had slaves do it for them. Do you want to talk about that part? No. So yeah, there's a lot of racial everything in his speech, and it's very disappointing.
Anyway, then so, Elizabeth and Philip go on parade for the Jubilee. William goes to Kate's house, and it's really cute.
It's adorable.
And they watch the Jubilee, and William commentates, which is so fun.
It's cute. He tells them how uncomfortable, like, so the queen is only comfortable with
a couple areas of conversation. Right.
So dog, in this order, dogs, horses, men and women. And so, like, if you stick to the first two, you're in good shape. And
they like hit her, Kate's father teases her mother about, well, I guess you're bottom of the list.
And one of the things that he leans over to Kate, he's like, am I doing okay?
It's so cute. It's adorable.
How am I doing?
She's like, you're doing great. Don't worry about it.
It's so cute.
He also, he's talking about how Elizabeth really hates these giving speeches and all this stuff. She really does. But she does it anyway for the good of the country and being, like, a civil servant and all that stuff.
They ask about politics. Like, well, what does she think of the PM?
And he's like, we don't talk about it.
Ever. We just gauge it based on how long she actually talks to each PM.
And Blair is not doing great.
He's but, like, they're pretty short with this PM, but the one before were
she
longer.
She liked John Major.
And they're like,
so John Major. And then, like, well.
We too.
And then, yeah, no, me too. But I liked the character anyway.
Yeah.
And then while William is watching, he's so proud of Elizabeth for being so steadfast and strong. And he's just, she's an example of what he wants to be when he gets to that point.
Yeah, you can really tell. It's
very sweet. And he, so William says he wants to be there for Elizabeth for the balcony. So he leaves early and Kate lets him.
And we have the French horn music. This is an appropriate use of the French horn theme. Just saying.
Elizabeth goes to the balcony and William is there to support her while the people cheer.
Charles, well, no, what does she want? Because she walks out by herself with Philip first.
And they cheer.
There's a huge cheer. It's a huge crowd. And they actually have actual footage that shows like how incredibly popular she was even at that time.
Kate and they all like, they're all outside. And Charles looks over at William and he's so proud of him for coming and all that stuff. Because he didn't have to, but he did anyway for his grandmother. Then Kate and William talk on the phone and discuss moving into a house on Hope Street.
Oh, wait. No, before that, one of the things he says is like, you know, today really made me realize the pressure of this job and how hard it's going to be.
And she's like, change of subject? And he's like, please. Yeah, please. I really don't want to talk about that. And she says like, well, when are you coming back to St. Andrews for after like break or something? And he's like, well, I'm going like next week to like tour apart, like a possible house with friends that we're going to get for next term. And she's just like, oh, okay, tell me more. And he's like, it's on Hope Street, but it's just the three of us. It's like a guy and a girl, two of my friends, and we have another room. And she's like,
So do you want a man or a woman?
And then he's just like, oh, woman, I think. I think that would make most sense. Are you interested? And then she's just like, I'm definitely interested. She says, I like Hope Street.
Yeah, exactly.
And so then there's this cute little montage of them moving, like her father helping her move in, and like them greeting each other, them going to the grocery store in the rain.
Yeah, there were actual pictures of this when they were together and living at St. Andrews. There was media pictures of them walking back in the rain with their groceries.
It's so cute. And then there's this amazing part where we see a flashback of Claire Foy and Matt Smith in Malta.
So good!
Because Elizabeth is thinking of like her Malta experience before all the shitstorm that is being the queen, and she remembered her like fun times with him. Like we see it's like a little bit of a montage. We see them like walking in the rain, and then we switch over to Claire Foy and Matt Smith in a car, like you're kissing his cheek, and it's so cute. And then like on the beach with young Charles.
Yeah, it's so cute.
It's so adorable.
It is so cute.
And so what Elizabeth does is she sends William a gift, and it is a picture of her and Philip in Malta. And she's like, this can be your Malta. And then he goes to have dinner with his friends like a normal college student.
And they're so happy.
Cute.
Yeah. It is adorable. And I love that.
I love this episode.
I do too. And honestly, we'll talk about it.
I'm considering changing mine too.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to just say my best part. So my best parts are William, Kate. Love them.
Absolutely.
I love Elizabeth. I love Claire Foy, Matt Smith.
Yes.
Elizabeth and Philip. I absolutely love all of them. What were your best
parts? Yeah. William and Kate, Elizabeth and William's talk specifically is very, very cute.
That's really
William
good.
In general and Elizabeth in general. And Claire Foy and Matt Smith,
obviously. What are your worst parts?
Mohammed Al-Fayed making shit up.
Yes.
And the Queen Mother's death.
Oh, I didn't even put
that. Oh, I'd also like to say the security guard is a bit best part for me.
I failed to add him. But anyway, I put Harry as a possible worst part because he's being selfish.
But they're able to make up really quickly.
Yeah, no, and he does apologize. You see that there is this tension in their relationship, and Harry is usually the person who comes and says sorry.
I'm going to say it's Harry, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I have a question mark by him. Mohammed Al-Fayed is just the effing worst. Every bad thing that you can say, I would say about Mohammed Al-Fayed in this episode as portrayed. What grade did you give this episode?
I originally gave it an A-, but I think I'm bumping it up to an A.
I
forgot how this made me feel the first time I watched it because I forgot about the flashback.
Yeah.
And so I was watching this and it was very, very cute. And it had like William and Kate like moving in together, and it's very adorable with their friends and all that stuff. And then we get this shot of them in the car.
Clairefoy
Matt Smith, Clairefoy kissing his cheek, and I'm like, ah!
Yeah, I screeched.
I loved it. It was great. So
I originally had this as an A minus, also. I'm going to bump this up.
It's an A. It's so good. It's really good. And also, I just like that we see William coming into his own as like realizing what the job is and realizing how he wants to follow in his grandmother's footsteps. But
taking ownership of it, too. Like, he has an option. He was given a choice, and he chooses the job.
Yeah, as he should.
Yeah, exactly.
And Kate respects that.
And we're going to see that theme continue into this next episode. So that's kind of exciting.
Yes.
So let's go into the last episode, which is episode 10. Sweet.
10?
10. Sweet. I've had some kamikaze here. I don't know what's going on with
you. I've had about as much as you. So. All right,
so sleep, dearie, sleep.
So Charles wakes up with Camilla.
There are foxes in the yard.
There are random foxes in the yard.
Oh, they're foxy.
Ew. Then Elizabeth wakes up to bagpipes. Charles and Camilla listen to the radio about the war in Iraq. It says it's been 2 years, so I guess it's 2004 now? Okay. Or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 2003 or 2004. Charles then asks her to marry him, even though he doesn't have permission yet from Elizabeth. And Camilla's like, huh, sure. I mean, we live together and we've been together for what, 30 years? Sure, whatever. Yeah. Elizabeth goes to the meeting. Elizabeth has a meeting with Philip and some other lords, and they are planning her funeral ahead of her 80th birthday in a couple of months. And they show her models of the parade that they're planning. They're basing it off of George the Sixth. So,
yeah.
Tony Blair has a meeting with her and is getting hounded by the public for the war in Iraq. Charles talks to Elizabeth to ask if he can marry Camilla. Elizabeth blames them for being unfaithful and not being heroic because Charles randomly says that Camilla's been heroic, and she's just like, no, she hasn't. I wouldn't call cheating on your husband when you have children in a relationship or ever, really, heroic. Neither of you have acted heroically. And he's like, but she hasn't complained. And I'm almost like, I'm sure that's not true. But whatever. Elizabeth, then they look out the window together and she says she'll think about it. They have another meeting about the funeral and that's whatever. Harry and William are talking about going to a friend's costume birthday party with the theme being colonials and natives. Why?
What in the actual?
Why?
Who thought of that? But of course, you do get the sense that some of these people they hang out with are inappropriate.
Oh, for sure. What the fuck is that?
I shouldn't even say inappropriate. That's not the right word.
Immature.
Immature is the right word. That's a good one.
Thank you. And they're like on the roof of like High Grove or something, and they're like shooting stuff with a BB gun, shooting their friend with a BB gun, and as boys do. And William's not doing it, Harry is, but William is there having a beer with them, and then these three like press secretaries or whatever come up, and they're like, hey, you are being you have a message from the queen or something, and Harry says it's never good when they come in packs, which is a callback to season 3.
Yes. Oh, it's never
season 4.
It might be 3.
Whenever
there, yeah,
no season Elizabeth's 4. At, it's season
she's
4.
Out in the Highlands. Right?
It's season
she's
4.
Stalking or something. Yeah.
No, it's when Diggy Mountbatten dies.
Right.
So it's season 4.
Okay.
Elizabeth talks to the heads of the church.
Charles dance. I'm sorry.
I know. I was saying because they had to have Charles dance in the third season because he died in the beginning of the fourth season. Elizabeth talks to the heads of the church about Charles and Camilla. They suggest that they marry in a civil ceremony and have a blessing after an atonement for their sins.
And I'm kind of thinking to myself, this is going to be weird. And it turns out
it's very weird. Elizabeth takes Harry and William on a walk to talk about Charles. I do not know why, and it's entirely possible that Charles did have this conversation with his children before this, but in the show it is not shown. But Charles decides not to ask his sons, hey, are you cool with me marrying Camilla?
Yeah, no, the first thing he has to ask is Elizabeth. What the fuck?
And I mean, people? They see it coming from a mile away, but like, still ask.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that there are so many levels on which, and we don't know, of course, if this is actually how it happened, but the way the show is portraying, it's like Charles is nothing but a fuck up. And I will say, I love the conversation Elizabeth has with Charles about this. Like, you know, he keeps talking about how Camilla is a hero and blah, blah, blah. And Elizabeth just dresses him down for it. She's like, there's nothing
he
heroic
has a
about
down
this.
From nanny.
He does. And she lets him have it. She says, there's nothing heroic about this. You know, like, what about, like, hey, she could have left you alone when you married Diana. And he's like, well, but you're her husband.
That's not her fault.
Yeah, her husband was cheating on her. He's like, you still could have done it.
She was cheating on her husband.
Right. Number two, you know, like, because he keeps trying to defend her. It's like, oh, but she was trying to support me. It's like, you know what?
She was making me happy.
Yeah, it's like, no.
But
there
you're
is
making
not
your wife very
miserable, and you put us all in this god-awful situation. No, it was wrong. All of it was wrong. Don't even try to paint this as heroism or courage or anything else. This was wrong. It is a fuck up. And it's something that comes up when she talks to the archbishops about it, which is super entertaining.
I already talked about it. But,
oh, did you? I'm sorry.
Missed quite a bit.
I was distracted. So I want.
She's taking Harry and William on a walk to talk about Charles.
God,
William takes charge and says that having him happy is the most important thing, and they'll be okay regardless of what.
Harry does not get a word in edgewise.
He doesn't.
And he is
and
furious.
Him.
Right, and that bothers me. I mean, I get that the number one, the one in line, definitely has more say. But she picks up on the fact that Harry's unhappy, because when she talks to Phil about it later, she says, "Yeah, him, you know, Harry's teeth were more gritted."
We'll talk about that later.
But yeah, so I don't know if you mentioned the conversation with the archbishops where they say we don't want to consecrate past infidelity,
right?
And I think that that's an excellent point for...
We don't want to condone what they did.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't want them to be an example to everybody that this can happen for everybody,
like,
or should happen for everybody.
Right. It's like, you shouldn't be screwing around on your spouse. Okay?
They're not setting a good example.
They aren't.
Harry is annoyed with William for caving in, and he's like, it's not caving, it's being an adult. But I think that
like,
Harry...
You're such a company man. It's like, whatever.
Oh, yeah,
of course he is.
Because he has to be. But, like, yeah. I also think that it's fair for Harry to be upset that he didn't really get much of a word in.
Right. No, I do put in, what the fuck, Harry? Because, you know, truly, you... Don't call him down for being a company man. You know exactly what his role is, and he does, too. And don't, like, be yelling at him for caving, because he's not, like, proposing an alternative, either.
Yeah, there is no alternative.
There is no alternative. But what Harry's pissed about is no one talked to him.
I agree.
He has a right to have been at least talked to.
He's a part of this family as much as William is.
Right.
Elizabeth gives her blessing to Charles. Charles proposes to Camilla, and she says yes, obviously.
Oh, she's smoking in the greenhouse. I find her so repulsive. I'm sorry.
And then Philip and Elizabeth talk about how they're worried about Harry. Philip says sometime in the army will help him. We then see the bagpiper get ready. And yeah. Elizabeth hears the music at breakfast with her dogs. She meets with the bagpiper and asks if there is a song he recommends for her funeral.
A lament, particularly.
A lament. He suggests Sleep, Dearie, Sleep. And she has him play it. It plays through the castle and people are affected by it. A maid starts singing the song.
Well, it's super loud. Like, he's like, I don't really want to play inside because people, you know, it's quite a din. She's like, it's not a din to me.
Yeah.
People start shutting doors like, oh my god, bagpipes in the house.
But they still hear it. Yes. Elizabeth gets teary-eyed. She actually has emotions.
Yeah,
we
knew that.
Then William, Kate, and Harry and a friend of theirs go costume shopping for this stupid birthday party.
Oh,
and Harry chooses a Nazi costume, which
and
is
everyone
stupid.
Tells them that's dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb. And their friend chooses Elizabeth. And Kate and William go as a lion and a lion tamer, which is adorable. And there's a moment where she like where he's dressed like half in his costume and Kate's like, hey William, and then she like cracks the whip in his direction. He's like, he just starts laughing.
Yeah.
It's so cute. And so they go as that. That's adorable. I love that. And the friend at the actual party, the friend dressed as Elizabeth sings "I Want to Break Free" by Queen.
Yeah,
which is so funny.
That's funny. It's adorable. It is adorable. That actually is very funny to me.
I like that. That's good
too.
Humor.
But again, you have to know that there were people there.
Yeah, no, but it's not like he's being that insensitive.
No,
he's not painting her in an awful light.
No,
someone she's painting him. He's painting her as Freddie Mercury. Anyway. Well, it could take it later, but someone takes a picture of Harry dressed as a Nazi and sends it around to newspapers. It's all over the press the next day. Everyone
like
front is upset.
Page news.
Yeah, front it's bad. Page. And again, and apparently it's 2 weeks before Holocaust Memorial Day.
Oh.
Blair suggests that Harry apologize. They then him and Elizabeth briefly discuss Iraq. Elizabeth then watches old reels of her and Margaret when they were younger, and Matt Smith in Malta, and
yes,
her father's funeral.
So.
They show so many clips of Matt Smith in Malta with young Charles, but I'm not complaining.
Oh,
if we don't get the real Matt
Smith, they crush the sandcastles.
If we don't get real Matt Smith, I'm okay with the Matt Smith reels.
I am too. It's so awesome.
And they brought out the crown that George got on Christmas in season one, which is really cute. Elizabeth talks to Philip about Harry. Philip complained to the costume shop about the inaccuracy of the uniform.
Funny. This is so funny. The inaccuracy of the Nazi uniform is like, Nazis that were serving in the desert did not have the swastikas. They had, you know, and apparently he did it almost as a prank.
And then he yells at them, hangs up, and starts laughing.
It's so good.
And he's like, "Do you want me to write in fucking crayon?"
It's so funny. And honestly, to me, that is like old Philip.
Exactly, it's bringing back old Philip. He's so much better in this episode.
Right, but this is the best we have seen of
this and him and William's talk.
Yeah, but this episode is the best we have seen of this characterization. Is so sad.
Philip, Elizabeth hangs out in the stables and sees Force Ghost Olivia Colman.
She's actually more solid than Force Ghost, but still. But yes.
okay. Talks to herself about being exhausted and in need of a rest.
Yeah, the Olivia Colman version, and of course I did not really like the portrayal, but it's very, the job is too hard for you, you need to retire. There's examples in other countries of people retiring and handing over their crown. It's worked for
you
the
need to step down for the younger guy.
For the younger guy, because you know, he's so capable now. And I'm kind of thinking, you were acting, whatever. So I really hate this advice. And it's coming from the person that I didn't really like the portrayal of Elizabeth anyway. So I'm kind of like,
I like Olivia Colman, but they're making her a bitch.
Yeah.
Anyway. They discuss how ready Charles seems to be. They argue about her stepping down and being a better mother. In honor of Margaret, she goes, older Elizabeth goes on the horse ride.
She's doing great for an 80-year-old. My God.
Yeah, Jesus, girl.
Amazing.
And this comes up in a later Force Ghost talk of, you can ride a horse, you can lead.
Yeah,
anyway,
you're good.
Charles and Camilla set a date for the wedding. The private secretary says it would be better for Elizabeth not to attend the actual ceremony, but to go to the reception. And as head of the church and all that
right
stuff.
Because they're doing the civil ceremony and then the blessing, and she's like, you should be there for the blessing,
and
the
she
blessing.
Asks for the opportunity to give a speech, and she plans to draft it herself
and won't tell anybody what's in it, and everyone's like, oh my god.
At dinner one night, Harry and William fight about the costume business. Charles complains to Camilla about it on the phone. Charles tells the boys to not ruin his wedding day, and he says, I've waited too long for it.
And both of them are
in front of his children who were born via a different marriage.
Yeah, it's like, and they're looking at him like, did you
seriously
just not say this to us? Fuck you. But no one says a word because, like, you know, he's future king. But you can just imagine.
I'd be so pissed.
Like fucking furious. And of course, so they go outside, and Harry's kind of like, can you believe Dad? Dad's such a dick.
Well, also, Charles mentions to Camilla that Elizabeth is making a secret speech and thinks that she's stepping down, and heard it through the family grapevine via Philip to Anne and to Andrew. Andrew went to Elizabeth to ask about it, and Charles says, you know, Andrew drew a complete blank.
So he does. He looks like such a dork.
No mention of Edward.
Yeah,
where's Edward?
Edward's off wherever.
He's
Edward
wearing a vest in Balmoral Woods.
No, Edward's off somewhere saying, this is a country thing to do.
He's just like chilling with his wife and family, chilling.
Yeah.
And good for him.
Yeah,
stay out of the family drama.
Exactly. A bunch of fucking weirdos.
I can respect that, Edward.
But he might be in that like underwater suit they gave him.
He's a Loch Ness or something.
Yeah, it's totally possible.
He's looking for the Loch Ness monster.
There we go. I'm good with that.
That's funny. Yeah. William and Harry talk about the speech maybe happening. William doesn't think she'd step down because she takes her job way too seriously.
Well, but he's like, absolutely not. And William, I think, has a connection with Elizabeth that no one else has, including
it's very unique
and genuine.
So
yeah, it's lovely. Actually.
William, then they talk about William II being assassinated by his brother Harry, but Harry's like, I wouldn't do that to you.
Good to know. Yeah, and that's kind of like William's response, like, thank you.
I guess.
Okay.
And there's also a nice moment when he's like, when Harry meets him outside, it's cold and he gives him the jacket. It's cute.
Yeah, no, they have a really nice conversation there. And because they're
my brother.
So this is the thing about siblings. You can always unite against your crazy parents and never, ever forget that. It's kind of like the whole Edith and Mary thing. It's like, we're the only people who are going to understand how fucked up our universe is.
Yeah.
No one else is going to remember this. No one else is going to get it.
True.
On any level. So, yeah.
They all get ready for the wedding. Dad pointed out that the crown does love a stockinged foot being put into a short heel.
Like, hey, there is, and well, Camilla has like an array of shoes. So they feel obligated to show it. There is a Quentin Tarantino foot fetish thing going on here.
But it's stockinged feet specifically. Either way, they Elizabeth is writing her speech to step down, but Force Ghost Claire Foy shows up!
And I gotta tell you, this argument with the Claire Foy Force Ghost is awesome.
And talk her out of it.
Yep.
She reminds her that she promised her life to the job and what Queen Mary told her. And what older Elizabeth says is... Yeah, she's
holding up ghost.
And I'm holding up Bibble. What does
Force
that say about
ghost.
Us?
Force ghost.
Anyway, then but when older Elizabeth hears Queen Mary, she's like, well, she's dead. And it's like, whoa, okay. She says she sees her as in the prime of her life and that she is special and can do the job well. You know that you are apart from your family in a way, and you know you can do this job better than anyone.
Right. And you feel separated from them because you know that none of them are as competent as you are, basically.
Exactly.
And it's okay. And it's okay. And it's something that gets echoed later, which I really like.
But I agree.
Claire Foy in this role can
I love her.
She is so
I missed
great.
Her.
Right.
I want to rewatch the first
two. She does the full dressing down from nanny thing with her. Like, don't start second guessing what you swore to do. This is an oath.
It makes me want
You're
to rewatch
doing
the first
it.
Two seasons just for her and Matt Smith.
Yeah, but she also says that don't go looking for Elizabeth Mountbatten because
she's dead.
Gone. She's gone.
She's been dead since you buried your father.
But it's also, and this is another way of saying what Maester Aemon said to John.
Kill the boy.
Kill the boy. Exactly. Like, don't go hunting your past. Live in the present.
Yeah,
because
and
you're here and you're doing it.
Yeah, because Elizabeth complains about the life she never had and the one that she put aside to become queen. And again, she says there's only Queen Elizabeth rather than Elizabeth Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth then revises her speech and they go to the blessing and reception. Harry is glaring daggers at Charles and Camilla while they quote unquote repent. Very half-hearted.
Everybody has to give the repentance speech too.
Funny.
I'm like, why is everybody having to do this? It's kind
of,
I mean, we're all joining in the fact that you're repenting because you're not really repenting and we don't really believe you.
Then Elizabeth goes up to do her speech. It's very funny, actually. She's trying to avoid the topic as much as possible and she doesn't step down.
But
she gives the results for the horse races first.
Yeah. Yeah, she gets the results for the steeplechase for the day.
Also in a village in Windsor, these people got married.
Yeah, there's some family wedding. The police are kind of hoping that it won't get out of hand.
They're keeping their eye on
They're
it.
They're keeping an eye on it, whatever. And it is...
I'm the mother of the groom.
Oh, for those of you who don't know me, I'm the mother of the groom. And it just, it hits every note absolutely right. except for Charles is like sitting there going, "Oh please, oh please," and it ain't happening. And but she does say,
he's salivating.
Camilla, you've been so cheerful and nice, and we're hopeful that things are going to get better in the future.
Doesn't reward her behavior, no, but congratulates her on her success right now,
right?
Which is what it should do,
right? And then, so she runs into Harry, William afterwards.
I love William going like, your speech was a bit short, Grandma.
Did you forget some stuff?" And she's like, "No, I did not. A word, I did not." And then she says, "Look, you need to be kind to Harry.
It's not easy being number two."
Yeah, and we can see Harry playing with like the younger it's cousins, cute. And he's very cute. He's very good with them, and. They all get called in for a royal picture, the whole group. And this is so funny because we've got a guy who's trying to be
Cecil
Bean. And he's like, he starts giving a speech.
And Philip just goes, "Jesus Christ."
And he's like, "God damn it, take the photo." It's so funny.
It's a return to form. It's like the end of season two.
Yeah, right. Which we really miss Matt Smith. I'm sorry, but this is again the best portrayal of Philip we've seen. He sees Elizabeth leave, kind of go out a side door of the chapel where they had had the picture. He goes. It's like a side chapel, I guess. And he goes in, and Elizabeth is praying, and he's like, "Oh, hey, say a prayer for me."
Yeah, say one for me.
Say one for me. And they have a discussion about her, and he's like, "You know, I'm glad you didn't do any kind of,
because you're one of a kind.
Because you're one of a kind." And she's like, "Well, I don't know." And she's like, "You were born to this. You have been ready. And because you know, the reason that you're here is that the people coming after us aren't ready." And she's like, "I don't know." He's like, "No. You were ready long before you actually took the throne. You have always
you were born ready.
You were born ready for this job. You've done it admirably. You need to keep doing it as long as you can keep doing it." And I love that he not only supports her in that way, but he sees it. And so he leaves her alone to say to pray a little longer, and then she leaves and walks a really long time, and it's far too long, and I really wanted
well, first of all, he leaves, she hears the song "Sleep, Dearie, Sleep," and imagines her funeral with her force ghosts around her,
yeah,
including the youngest version, yeah, the 19 year old that went to a club with a 30-year-old.
I would say though that there's some really good exchanges between her and Philip in this about the funerals and all of the things they like talk about. Hey, you
it's very you.
You peaked at this. It's very you, and it's like, yeah, no, it is very, very cute. She leaves, and it's a little too long. They have her walk the entire
chapel
and the foyer outside, which looks stunningly like the whole Dumbledore and Harry discussion.
Yeah.
In King's Cross, where Dumbledore's dead. I was expecting fog or smoke or something. And you can just go on. This went to air after the Queen's death. And so I think that there's a lot of that.
I think they adjusted it accordingly, obviously. Yeah. So.
Yeah. But there is, again, a good honoring of the Queen in it. So yes. There we go. What were your best parts?
Claire Foy and Olivia Colman being back. It was a nice callback, especially Claire Foy.
Yeah.
No offense to Olivia Colman. The acting is great. The music is great. The callbacks are great. Mm-hmm. Philip is awesome.
Yes.
Elizabeth not stepping down is awesome. Yes. William is awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I had Elizabeth, Philip. Harry with kind of a question mark.
Harry's kind of like a middle ground for me. I think Harry's justified in being upset about the whole Charles thing, but he also kind of goes a little overboard with it. But I don't know.
Yeah. Claire Foy, again, amazing. Anne I have in here. And part of the reason...
Yeah, Anne's kind of just there. But
gives like... There are a lot of reaction shots with her, and they're in character, and I like that. Yeah. What were your worst parts?
My worst parts are Camilla being called heroic, the Nazi costume, because that's never a good idea.
Oh yeah, never.
Charles not talking to his kids about Camilla. Like, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah.
And Harry complaining.
Yeah, I had basically everything Camilla. Olivia Colman, the speech that she, the oh, you need to step down thing. I
just, mean, it was just meant to like show the different sides of the argument.
Yeah, but you know, whatever.
She unfortunately
the extra long ending I didn't like, and the hairy Nazi thing.
Oh yeah, the walking.
Yeah, so
and we're walking.
So what grade did you give this episode?
A minus.
Yeah, I think it is A minus.
Because I think my favorite of the season was the episode. The penultimate.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I do feel like this season was way better than season 5.
Well, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Let's wrap up the series.
So wrapping up the series, my...
This is hard because we haven't seen the seasons in a while.
It's true, but I think I can do it.
I think I can do it too.
So it's actually not that hard. So season 1 is clearly the best season, yeah, by far. If you're watching this show, season 1 is amazing. Season 2 is also amazing because you still have Claire Foy and Matt Smith. It's less good because of the conflict, and I don't really love that. After that, it's probably either 4-3 or 3-4. 5 is fucking terrible. And I'm sorry. Like, so season 6.
We're 6.
So 1-2-6. And then 3 and 4 are kind of eh. And then 5 is the worst.
Well, mine is season 1, season 2, season 4, season 6, season 3, season 5.
Okay,
because I like Josh O'Connor.
Josh O'Connor is really good.
I think the acting in season 4 is really good. I think it's the beginning of Diana before it got too much for me. And season 3 is just a little bit boring. I don't know. Honestly, but here's the thing.
I can see 4 being better.
Yeah, 4 being better than is definitely better than 3 for me. Season 6 being below 4 is only because of the first half being all about Diana. If everything was about like the aftermath of Diana's death forward, totally, I think it would be better than season 4 for me. But
I think it salvages itself because we get back to Elizabeth, too.
I think I agree. Actually, maybe I'm going to change.
So
1-2-6-4-3-5 for me.
Yeah.
I think.
I agree.
Especially if you're splitting the season 6 up in half, season 6B is so much better.
It's so much better than season.
So much better. Four, yeah. I don't think we had a dud episode other than the Ritz.
Yeah, no. And honestly, yeah,
and that wasn't bad. It wasn't as good.
Right. So, yeah, I that's where I would put it as we sit here right now. If you are looking at shows that we have watched, and I want to admit that when we did our wrap up thing for Game of Thrones, which was not that long ago, we failed to include our Harry Potter things.
Oh, so, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I went through all the stuff we've gone through. So, we went through Bridgerton season 1, Bridgerton season 2, then we did Harry Potter, then we did Ted Lasso seasons 1 and 2. Then we did The Crown seasons 1 through 5. And then we did, and in that we did the Bridgerton books, like the original Bridgerton 8.
Then we did
Ted Lasso season 3. And then we did Downton Abbey. And then we did Queen Charlotte. And then we did Game of Thrones. And now we have finished The Crown season 6.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to rank these.
I don't want to rank them either. I just wanted to mention that how much we've accomplished.
We haven't accomplished a lot because it's a lot of watching. And we're actually still watching other shows, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah, we don't only watch these shows.
No, but at the same time, because we're also looking for new content, but we're also looking at what we like, why we like it, and because there's so much content out there, I think it is important to see parallels, number one, but also to see where the good writing is.
Yeah,
and I think that
good writing constitutes for us and what we prefer.
Right. So, but good writing to me makes the show. Like,
yeah,
you can have amazing portrayals of characters, and you can have amazing sets or effects or whatever,
but it can't save good writing. Good writing can save it, but not the other way around.
Right.
I think, and going forward, a few things that I'm just going to throw out there that we may be doing, and we're definitely doing Umbrella Academy next.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're very excited for that. We love Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while.
I haven't either, and completely different from what we've been doing.
So different. I love it.
If you haven't seen it, start watching it now. It's super great.
That's great. And season 4, the final season, is coming out in August. We'll cover that when we get there. Then after that, we'll be around the Bridgerton time. We're probably going Bridgerton to
season three.
We're right? probably going to hold off until the full thing has come out.
Yeah, so that's gonna be summer, people. Yeah. But we are going to start Umbrella Academy. We do have some special another special episode. So we had the Rosie prequel thing with the Bridgerton books. We also have the Smythe Smith at Bridgerton adjacent.
It's Bridgerton.
Right. Books that we are doing an episode on that.
We've already done the episode.
You should have heard it before this one, actually.
You definitely should have.
But if you haven't, take a listen. I think I'm more descriptive. There's so much Bridgerton drought out there. So definitely.
We're waiting.
We are waiting.
We're like Margaret with that one cigarette in that one episode. Yeah. We just need the hit.
Well, because we can't go riding. So there's
not the swollen ankles.
Oh my God.
But also some potential things for after Bridgerton. I mean, we have Dairy Girls.
There is
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, which I absolutely love. Cillian Murphy can do this after the Oscars.
He deserved.
Oh, Helen McCrory, who I love.
I don't know the guy's name who plays Arthur, but he's great in this.
He's amazing. Peaky fucking Blinders, people. Mm. So fun. I may have terrible accents, but it's going to happen.
I think we should do Dairy Girls before we do Peaky Blinders. Because
also terrible accents. I might do that too.
Oh, God.
It can happen.
I think it would be a fun thing to do that after Bridgerton Season 3, since Nicole Coughlin is...
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, no, Coughlin, sorry. Yeah, both of those are great shows. You know, some part of me, sometime we might look at Once Upon a Time, but there's so many
that episodes. Would be so fun, but so hard to do.
I know, and that's the problem.
I mean, there if we like do it in sessions like we usually do, it actually might not be that bad.
Yeah. But it for those of you who have suggestions, we take suggestions. And by the way, we do have a listener in Spain and in Greece.
Oh, cool.
And for those of you who are in UK, and by the way, we are such Anglophiles, you know, anything.
It's not embarrassing.
I love it. But you know,
and
there might be a point where we just like start comparing all of the Pride and Prejudice versions out there. Yeah, things could happen. We can do a whole Jane Austen series.
Oh, please.
Oh, it'd be super
Don't tease me like that.
I mean, because you could do like all the Pride and Prejudice, all the Sense and Sensibilities. You could
all
do
the Persuasions.
Emma's. And then like do like Austen Land. There's like Lost in Austen, and then there's the one with Anne Hathaway in it, whatever.
I think Pride and Prejudice would be the easiest one because that was the one I actually like read.
Yeah, I've read them all.
I love
Jane Austen, she's fabulous. But yeah, so you know, doing a comparison of the Pride and Prejudice with Colin Firth, which versus
Pride and Prejudice
2005. Oh my God. Oh my God, it's so hard.
And Keira Knightley.
And Keira Knightley is so hard. It's so hard. That is a hard comparison.
I'm going to be doing my spring break this week. I'm going to be rewatching the BBC version, which I haven't done in a while.
Colin Firth's really in the shirt. They auctioned the shirt off recently. Oh my God.
Anyway. I know, but I do love that you said. I'll compare them this week, and I'll let you know on the podcast,
but not on the podcast. But anyway, so
I'll mention it on the podcast. It will have nothing to do with Umbrella Academy. However,
it can happen. Anything can happen.
Continuity.
So like for those of you who are looking for more content,
there's plenty,
and of course.
I'd love to do Once Upon a Time at some point.
I would too.
Especially since we've come up with, I think before
hey, it was I more have daunting. Poison apple glasses. They are yeah, like so
we,
great.
We were so into it. I forget when I started watching it live, because you started watching it live maybe season two or season three.
Oh no, it was season one. I watched it.
Oh, that's so true. And then I joined in around end of season one into season two. Mm-hmm. And then we watched the rest of it live.
Because we are kind of, you know, people who like fairy tales. People who love fairy tales. Anything could happen. We are not ruling anything out right now. We are looking forward to sharing with you Umbrella Academy, which is going to be our next project. Love this show. You should watch it. we are going to share with you all of our thoughts.
And Dairy Girls. I want to do Dairy Girls.
Like, so yeah, no, we're doing Umbrella
Academy. I know.
Anyway, we hope that you join us. And
cheers.